But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're grateful to hear this explanation of the parable of the sower as we are in the season of pre-Lent, speaking about the Word of God and how it lands upon different kinds of ground. I would suggest to you that we might see in ourselves all four kinds of ground in a day, and that we should be thinking about how we can do the spiritual horticulture necessary to make sure that the soil of our hearts is ready to receive the Word of God and keep it to bring forth fruit with patience. Now, we have opportunity to do this in the season of pre-Lent to form up our Lenten discipline. Lenten discipline is kind of a scary-sounding term, but it actually is simply those practices, those best practices that we keep as Christians to come close to God and allow Him to come close to us. So generally, it has a fourfold foundation. We have a time where we have a discipline of fasting, which is a reduction in the quantity of food. It's a time of abstinence, a reduction in the quality of food. And then a time of prayer and scripture reading, and also a time of almsgiving, where we share with God, with others, what God has given to us. So these four practices begin to break up the clods in our heart and make fertile ground for the Word of God. And so let us begin to think on that. How are we going to live a little differently in this coming season of Lent that'll start on the 22nd with Ash Wednesday, to make sure that our hearts are able to receive the Word of God and bring forth fruit abundantly. Now, the four kinds of ground, again, I think we might see those in the same day. The four kinds of ground, notice in the first that the enemy comes and snatches away the seed before it can even penetrate. And I'll suggest to you that that is, the ground of a hard heart that is hardened by pride. So it's easy for us to come into a prideful place where we don't think that we necessarily need the Word of God. And that can come to us certainly in a culture that is turning away from God and turning toward the sovereignty of mankind instead of the sovereignty of God. So if you think about the different ideologies, for example, ideologies are a kind of de facto ways that somebody would ignore the Word of God, have nothing to do with the Word of God. Marxism, for example, posits that there is no God. And so documents like the Bible wouldn't pertain. So a person, through their own ideological bent, may just simply dismiss the Bible out of human pride, not see it as authoritative anymore, or see any reason why one should even open the covers. I mean, the Bible is the most sold, least read book, and it's very easy for us not to open it and have access to it, even though it's a vast treasure that many of our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ never had access to. Think about those of our brothers and sisters in Christ in the communion of saints who lived before the printing press and never had the funds available for having their own book, their own copy of the scriptures. We live now in a time of an embarrassment of riches in this knowledge age, where at our fingertips we can have access to 60 versions of the Bible, but how often are we accessing it? We might think, well, why am I not getting more of the seed on the ground of my heart? What is it that is keeping that away? And I think we might discover, as I've discovered in my own heart before my conversion, that it was pride. I just saw this as an ancient document that had no relevance for modern man and, just dismissed it. Well, we find in the scriptures, the very Word of God that will radically transform our lives in the shape of Christ, who is perfect love, if we will allow it to enter in. So the next kind of ground would be that where the seed falls and it takes root, or it doesn't take root, it sprouts, but it doesn't take root. And I think we might see that kind of ground very common in the church. The ground of a heart where somebody is very interested in God's word, but it's an intellectual interest. So they might be very knowledgeable about Scripture, and they might have even memorized Bible passages, and they have a good understanding of the Bible and its composition and its authorship and the textual construct of the Bible. But it's an intellectual fascination. So there is this grabbing hold of the seed, and it sprouts, but it doesn't take root because it hasn't traveled the necessary distance from the head to the heart. It hasn't entered in. There is this appreciation of God's word. There is this aha moment where the puzzle piece fits in place because we have a tremendously cohesive structure, a reasonable faith. And all these things make sense, but there's no connection to the heart. And so in times of suffering, in times of adversity, that root dries up. And this might be kind of the surface skimmer where a person knows the Bible, but they don't utilize it when the going gets tough. That kind of goes out the door, and it's like a hobby that the person no longer, is interested in because they've got to get, down to, what matters. Very sad, but very common, right? We might begin to see whether or not that is kind of our situation, that we're not allowing the word to sink in. Then there's that kind of ground of heart where a person is, the word sinks in, they begin to live it out, but there is so much of a distractions in the world that the fruit that would come up on that plant that is growing from the seed never really comes to full fruition. And the fruit is spoiled. It doesn't bring forth much fruit. And why? Because that plant that is growing from the seed of the Word of God, where the person is living it out and doing the Word, is choked by the riches, by the cares, by the concerns and worries, and by the pleasures of this life. And so that crowds out. That takes priority. And wow, as Christians, we really have to swim upstream in this culture of mega distraction, where we've paid good money for devices in our own hands that are engineered for distraction. Granted, we can find the 67 translations of the Bible on there, but there are also other apps and programs and things on there that very studious engineers and neuroscientists and companies who have made it their business model to make the most addictive thing ever, there it is in our own hand, and how easy it is to get pulled into that and distracted from what it means to live out God's truth. Not to mention, the other things in life, the pleasures and the worries and the cares. So here again is a time in Lent to begin to really focus on what matters most, which is our relationship with God. For of Him comes salvation, and He is our true and ultimate treasure. And to seek those things where we come into deeper relationship with Him. And then we will have that good ground of heart. Not the prideful ground where the seed can't even penetrate, but the ground of humility, the opposite of pride, where the soil of our hearts is broken up and we're able to receive the Word of God that it might bring forth much fruit. And I'll suggest to you that there is a way that we can practice, that we can keep, that will help us to receive the Word of God and to keep it. Like Mary, who pondered all these things in her heart, our model for first theologian and the saint. We see a method that I'll recommend to you is the method of Lectio Divina. That's sacred reading. Lectio, reading, divine, sacred. And it's where we would take a passage from Scripture and we read it out loud, and then we sit with it for a while. We allow it to sink in. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, would soften our hearts, make it come into us, that we would recognize the authority of God's word, that this is God reaching out to us, that we would come in humility with that kind of effect, allow the word to come in. We would then repeat the phrase again that we're reading. Allow us to sit with it for a while, begin to see how it might, connect with our own life. Read it again, let it sink in, and then respond to God with a prayer back to Him, that this would become now part of our lives, that we would now live it out and do the Word that we'd bring forth the fruit. And this kind of meditative practice is more than just intellectual. It is also of the heart, because we're making a prayer back to God. It's conversation with God. His holy word, we hear him speaking to us, and then our response in prayer back to God in gratitude or asking that he make this part of our life, you see the method. So if I was reading, for example, the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to walk in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul." And if I read those verses and read on into the psalm that he will lead me through the valley of the shadow of, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. This is a word that may, if I allow it to penetrate, to become part of me, and I live it out, can be very helpful. I once heard the account of a man that got a Bible, well, it was part of a Bible. It was the New Testament and Psalms that was given to him as he jumped onto a troop ship to cross the Atlantic, and he was in the Normandy invasion and then further battles that were toward the end of World War II, Battle of the Bulge and so forth. He'd seen a lot of action. Now, this man had read the 23rd Psalm, and he absorbed one verse that held him in place when the ground was, you know, heaving him 4 feet up in the air and slamming him back down from the percussion of the artillery. And it was "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." That's all he had to say during the whole campaign. It's like he only knew one verse, but it held him steady. And, you know, it had been that seed that had been planted, that had sunk deep, that he lived out in the terrors and crucible of war, and it brought his conversion from a family that was Jewish but had no practice of faith into a believing Christian in the Catholic tradition. That's what he held on to. It was that powerful. The word of God was that strong for him that in that kind of suffering he needed one verse to hold on to. "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, they strengthen me. God, my strength." So we have access to this. It is ours for the taking. It's ours for the asking. Let us ask for that more and more, that we would be able to receive in humble hearts the word of God, and that we, in living out that word, would be transformed by the power of its love and rejoice in the gifts that God has given to us as saints who are living in our own time and place with the hope of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.